Welcome back to Super Tatis for Bahar B'chukosai. Let's start with a couple Mivchar Pninims. Really interesting to have next to each other. I want to mention both of them. So the first one is V'tov she'aniach ha'chochma b'mnei she'lo ada'ena yoser mim'ospa. So he says that it's better for me to put aside chochma in a situation where I wouldn't know it than for me to be disgusted by it. So said differently, it's better for me to be neutral, chokhmah neutral, than chokhmah negative. And the thrust of this is that somebody should be like a chokhmah vortex. They should want to really take in all the chokhmah that they possibly could, and that attitude should create a feeling of like a feeding frenzy. You should be trying to get everything that you can, listen to whomever can share chokhmah with you, learn whatever svarim you can, go to whatever shiurim you can, expose yourself to whatever chokhmah you can. And that seems to be a big attitude that comes out in the svarim. However, one of the things that comes with this is a little bit of a burn and bust cycle, right? So there's a burn and bust cycle. And a lot of that comes with all of this ambition and all of this eagerness to become a chacham occasionally leads itself and lends itself to an overstep. So the overstep can be in volume and you can get burnt out. And the overstep can also be in subject matter. So I'll tell you examples of both. One is, you know, the classic yeshiva bachur burns out. So I remember I got a call from my son's mashgiach once saying, hey, by the way, your son, he seems like he's pushed himself over the edge. And my response was, that's great. He needs to know what it feels like to push himself too much. He needs to know how to push himself too little, because life and learning is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And he needs to learn how to balance himself. So that's one. And that is all part of a healthy cycle. And two, and this comes out in the Kisvei HaGra, and you see it come right up in the Evan Shlema and his Perek about learning very explicitly, is that when we select what to learn, you don't want to select something which is too easy, but you also don't want to select something that's too hard. Because if learning becomes too taxing and you're receiving no nachas from it, it is hard practically for people to continue with such levels of hasmada. And one of the things that could happen is that people burn out too quick and then they stop. So it needs to be right on the balance. We need to challenge ourselves. In a certain sense, it is batala if, you know, we can be learning on a level 7 and we learn on a level 2. But on the other hand, it is dangerous if we can be learning on a level 7 and we try to learn on a level 15. So those two come in tandem with each other. Next one. And this one really interestingly complements what it says. So it says, the first one is, you know, really saying, make it work, make it fit, because otherwise people sometimes kind of throw it off the edge. And that's a bad idea. The second one, and shalu l'chacham, they ask the chacham, ma chachamta yoser mechaveirecha, how did you get more wise than your friend? Amar lahem said to them, mipnei shehotseisi b'shemen, Yosir Mimash Shehutziu Chaveira Bayayin said, because I expended, it sounds like it's talking about money. I expended more for oil, which is at least literally oil could be just talking about essential needs. That's what I think could be the pshat. I paid more for essential needs than for fun or intoxication. That's on pshat, meaning to say I didn't treat life like it was a party. I stayed away from the Mosaros. I kept focused like a soldier, like the Mesilas Yesharim says that, you know, we're supposed to be like soldiers. No, soldiers eat, soldiers sleep, soldiers do all the essential things of life, but they don't sit down for a 7-course meal when they're going to battle. So that's a good analogy to use. Now, it could be that oil is, you know, these are symbols and these are Ramazim. Oil could be like the Gemara in Horios says, Haragil b'shemen, that person is going to remember their Torah, but Haragil b'zeisim isn't. So it could be that obviously the difference between oil and olive oil, olive has olive oil, So the difference between the two of them is that olive oil has amelus in between the two of them. So what it means to say is that I was a little bit more diligent than my friends. I heard a story, I forget exactly where it's from, you know, that there were two Talmidei Chachamim, both of them with extraordinary aptitude, but one really took ahead. And, you know, they said that one, you know, would learn when the other one would nap on Shabbos. I remember that story because it was poignant to me, especially in tandem with the fact that Rav Lichtenstein Zecher Tzedek Livracha, I believe, didn't really take naps on Shabbos because he thought it was lazy. And when I heard that story, it made me feel guilty about taking a nap on Shabbos afternoon. In fact, I remember, I believe, one of his daughters in her hesped for her father said that he ruined her Shabbos nap, you know, because of his example that he set and everything like that. It happened to be that a couple of years ago, I had hurt my back and I started taking a nap on Shabbos afternoon just because I felt like I needed it. And there was a guilt cycle that accompanied it because I felt like I had missed, you know, like I was losing that level of asmara, even though I needed to rest. So I guess what I can say is the two of these come in tandem. Their diligence is absolutely positively necessary for success in learning an Avodas Hashem, and pushing yourself over the edge is dangerous. I will say the same comment that I said to my son's mashgiach, as I will to us, is that there will be cycles of over-pushing and under-pushing, and that's common. And as I'm fair to say, is we always need to be in balance, but the real challenge is that balance is constantly changing. So you could be perfect balance today, and that same recipe will be different for tomorrow. So I daven and wish that we all have extraordinary hatzlacha in finding it, but understanding that this is the formula. This is the way that it works. In Avos this week, we have the reference to Avram as Avram Avinu, and the reason why he's referred to as Avram Avinu, Lefi the Ruach Chaim, is that he's an Av because in each of those tests that he had, he created spiritual DNA for all of Klal Yisrael forevermore. And Rabbi Dessler mentions that the term Zechus Avos occasionally, because of a linguistic nuance, can be overlooked in terms of another concept that underlies that entire idea, which is called Zakus Avos. Zechus Avos is relying on their merits. Zakus Avos is the purity of the Avos which lives in us. In other words, our spiritual DNA. And the relevance of all of this is the way that we look at ourselves. When we look at ourselves and you look in the mirror, occasionally you can feel like you're Basar Vadam, Yilud Isha, you know, not really something special. And occasionally it could feel slightly presumptuous to try to attain all of the things that we want to attain and to assume that maybe we could actually succeed. Here, though, what we're doing is we're saying, look at these 10 tests that Avram Avinu had, and each of those very tests creates a component of who I am, regardless of whether or not I've done anything or I think I can do it. I have, for example, the ability, like in the Akedah, to do Mesiras Nefesh, and that is in many ways instructive to us to be able to be brave. Last thing, I think that works just in tandem with the two Mivchar Pninims that I mentioned. I think it needs to just be mentioned, B'chukosai Teilechu, the Rashi, that says, Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah. What does Amelim mean? I think that maybe this Rashi should be learned with the two Mivchar Pninims that I mentioned, in that, you know, it's an attitudinal diligence. So I think that one of the great, I remember I once went to somebody's Shabbos table, and he was telling me that his daughter got married, and she was surprised because she had spent her entire life waking up knowing that her father was going to be at the kitchen table learning whenever she woke up. So it's just an idea that you know that this person is treating learning in Avodas Hashem like work. And the concept of treating it like work, amelim, really involves diligence. It involves achrayus, meaning to say that it's self-motivated. It doesn't need somebody else to tell them. I remember there was somebody whose wife once said, I have never chased this man to the Beis Medrash. You know, I mean, that's a good thing. And I think that, but it also means there are times where you need to close the safer and kind of do other things too. So it's an interesting analogy to say that maybe part of it is that you treat it like a constant state of work with the level of professionalism, with diligence, with planning, and with focus. Last thing, which is just a thought question, is the Rashi on Hisalachti Besochachem, which says, Atayelimachemi Began Eden. So there, it's one of the other Ramazim to Olam Haba in the Torah that Chazal see very clearly, but if we didn't know the Chazal, we could have missed it. So one of the questions that shows up in Rishonim is why Chazal are so hinty about this and not so direct about it, and to always appreciate. And I think that it's worthwhile to ask the question at a Shabbos table, what is the wisdom that Kodesh Baruch Hu accomplishes by making it a remez instead of making it explicit? And I will tell you that if you want, you can look in the Chovos Levavos, and he has an approach, but it might be interesting to see what comes out by the people at your table. Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful Shabbos.